Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Good morning, radio family. Not only is the weekend back, so is our public affairs program welcoming you each and every weekend to the weekend edition of Community Focus. Thanking you so much for your great company and certainly the good things you are doing in our communities. And always nice to be back to get engaged in great conversation, especially as our Community Focus family continues to grow. And that is yet again the case. And a great opportunity to welcome our newest member, who is actually part of a nonprofit organization leading early childhood development and education initiatives in Forsyth County. So if that kind of gives you an idea of what our conversation will be about, I want to say good morning and officially welcome you, Lewis Finney, to the Community Focus family. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm amazing and great to start the day, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much, and I love that energy. You are definitely amazing, and I am so ready to engage in great conversation, and definitely the information that you, sir, I really appreciate you sharing with our radio family today. So let's get this conversation underway, shall we, in the course of getting to know you a little bit better. But the first question I want to ask, why is particularly pre-K services a priority for Forsyth County, especially when we talk about Smart Start of Forsyth County?
Okay, I think first because between the first 1 year to 3 years is actually when children learn the most.
Right.
And all the research and data actually states that children who don't get pre-K services can actually are 7 times more likely to go to jail, but also not to graduate college, but also, particularly when it relates to Black children and Black boys, to be turned towards special needs and disabilities at third grade. And in Forsyth County, one of our roles is actually to work in partnership with the school district.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that before these children get into kindergarten, that the private childcare industry, the pre-K industry, and the Head Start programs got the tools that they need to make sure these kids are successful, but also that their families are successful.
Absolutely, Lewis. And I know that's something that we're going to get into a little detail, a little further into our conversation, particularly when we talk about parents and we talk about those who have children in the pre-K stage, and especially the impact that COVID-19 and this pandemic has had. But in the meantime, you touched on a key word that I wanted to address to you, accepting the role as the CEO and executive director. You've served in that capacity for how long?
Approximately 1 year.
Well, congratulations. You have an anniversary.
Yes, I do.
Wonderful. And now, are you originally from the area?
No, I'm actually from New Jersey. I relocated here from Florida.
Oh, great, great. I know a lot of people from Jersey. There seems to be that Jersey, North Carolina connection, Florida in between, too, as a matter of fact. Well, wonderful, wonderful. Now, let's get back to and discuss or have you share with us what type of services does Smart Start provide for the community?
Okay, well, our primary goal and what we do is we enforce the quality rating system. We're in the state of North Carolina, each county and child care provider, in order to really identify quality, you have a rating scale from, say, 1 to 5.
Okay.
And what we do is work with those providers to get them to that rating scale, and that's across the entire county for everyone that does pre-K. So that's one of our primary goals, but also we fund multiple nonprofits to do work as well. Yeah. They do work such as work with dads, work with parents that are low income. Mm-hmm. We also provide child care subsidies to low income families throughout the county. We provide scholarships for teachers to get degrees, scholarships for parents to actually pay for any child care facility that they want to do. And one of our biggest things I'm proud of is we do training and technical assistance. So we work throughout the county in providing technical assistance for no charge to private child care directors who want to improve their program.
Excellent. So you really have quite the job in the role that you serve, and only being here in such a year or just a year, I'm pretty sure that you have been able to see some amazing changes that have come to the organization and to the program as a whole since you've been in that role.
Yes.
Excellent. Now, why are you particularly, Lewis, interested in leading the efforts to improve education services for Forsyth County's children?
Well, I think for one, I've been doing this work for 20 years. Throughout all my career, it's mostly been early childhood, but also I'm also a vet as well. So I have kind of a quasi-military education background.
Right.
And when I saw that was unique in Forsyth County, believe it or not, particularly as it relates to pre-K, there are some unique challenges. Mm-hmm. For example, in Forsyth County, we're one of the lowest funded to support pre-K in the state when you compare us to other communities.
Okay.
The other challenge that we have is we also are one of the communities that have the least amount of teachers with a formal degree. Okay. So part of what our role is to improve these teacher credentials to get them up and ready. So I like that challenge, but also I saw that Forsyth County was so much potential to try to improve some of these services. In addition to doing this job, I'm also the president of a national Family Child Care Association, and that organization, they represent about 3 million providers across the country in trying to work with the administration and improving quality care. So I like to use that experience as well to kind of help with some sales.
Excellent. And Lewis, what that says to me personally, and very likely to members of our community-focused family, you have not only a love for community, but you apparently have a love for children and for youth in general.
Yes, I do.
Excellent. Excellent. So you have, I think you're a great fit in the role and the position that you serve. Let's see if I can get one question in, one more at least, before we go to our first break in the morning. And we kind of touched on this, but tell us a little bit more about who you are and what experience you bring to support your work for the betterment of our children and families in particular.
Okay, I say first I'm a man of faith and the Lord is my Savior, so that's the first person that guides me in the direction that I like to do, particularly as it relates to this work with children. And I've been doing this for the past 20 years, and part of it's because I had a child who had died of leukemia at a young age, so I was that also made me want to help and support particularly children who had that particular disease, but also children with disabilities.
Yes.
And I was also given a chance because I was at a pre-K program where I actually was diagnosed with a disability at a young age, and I was rescued through pre-K.
Wow.
So it was also some personal attributes for me wanting to get into this particular business.
Right.
And I find that for me, I think that it's one of the most important but least recognized fields. And I find, particularly during COVID-19, even the administration, the previous one with Trump, but even the current one with Biden, he's actually adding $30 billion just on child care because they were able to see how significant and important these particular workers were. Because particularly in Forsyth County, child care workers actually, many of them kept on working even through COVID when they first started in March and April to help support these firefighters and these nurses who had children so they can work. Even realizing that COVID-19, really, it wasn't new to me to know that this was an essential job.
Right.
I knew this all this time.
Yeah.
But now the world actually sees how important it is to work with these young children.
Absolutely.
And also really to work with these providers because they're really low paid. So that's another challenge that I have. And what I advocate for is really to give them a working and living wage and have that position be looked at as something that's very important to people.
Absolutely. And Lewis, a couple of things on hearing you share that. First and foremost, thank you for bringing that into the conversation, because that certainly was a major concern for a lot of our radio family. The majority of them, as you may or may not be aware, are parents, and likely parents of small-age children. And when this pandemic, which it'll be nearly a year since it hit, and has really brought about so many dramatic changes in just our daily lives and our everyday way of doing things, we had a lot of parents that really relied on wonderful programs such as Smart Start. But then when all families, basically, we had to be quarantined, we couldn't go anywhere. And it affected a lot of the programs that were being offered to many of our area parents. The second thing that I wanted to bring to your attention, and thank you for discussing that, is when you think of the word essential, we do think of our healthcare workers, we think of firemen, we think of policemen. I really do believe, and I thank you for stating that, I think our teachers should be added to that list as well, because we have so many wonderful administrators like yourself serving in various roles or capacities. You do this job, and you touched on the fact you most teachers, if not all, really are not paid their true worth, first and foremost. But I have such an appreciation for each and every one of you, because I come from a family of educators. I didn't follow exactly in their footsteps, but I have mad respect for everything that all of you do. And I don't think teachers hear that enough. I don't think that's shared with them enough. So if I can just personally extend to you and to say to you through this public affairs program, thank you for everything that you have done and that I know that you look forward to continuing in doing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Lewis, we're going to make this a breaking point. We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back with the second half of the program. I have a few more questions to ask you, if that's all right with you.
That is perfectly fine with me.
Wonderful. Well, listen, you started off as the newest member of our community-focused family, but really, sir, a couple of minutes into our conversation, you official now. So welcome to the community-focused family.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. And again, thank you for all you do. I look forward to the continuation of our conversation, and to thank you, family, as well, for tuning in each and every weekend. And again, to thank you for the good things you're doing in our communities. We do have much more to discuss with Smart Start and its CEO, Executive Director, and Lewis Finney joining me, Renee Vaughn. And thank you for tuning in. This is the weekend edition of Community Focus, and we'll return right after this break. It is more the weekend edition of Community Focus. Thank you, Radio Family, for your great company, and equally so, the company of members of our Community Focus family. We have our newest member, and Lewis Finney, who serves again as the CEO and Executive Director of Smart Start of Forsyth County. And Lewis, we really got off to a fine start getting to know you in the role that you play as the CEO and Executive Director, and especially the services that Smart Start provides, particularly to our members in and around Forsyth County. We touched on this a little bit, but for those who are just joining us, give us a little more detail into what your current position is currently with Smart Start.
Okay. Currently, I serve as the CEO for the organization, so I work very closely with the board. Okay. We have a 30-member board that's made up of some elected officials, executives, and interested people in early childhood, and they help guide the direction and strategic plan of the organization as well. And probably about 40% of what we do is support other nonprofits to help them, and where we get state funds that we in turn put out to the community actually for bid to apply for projects that are within our vision of the organization and the community. And as I stated earlier, our biggest role is ensuring that Forsyth County's quality rating system for pre-K and children from 0 to 4 is at a high level.
Absolutely. And about how many kids do you personally either help or you assist on a daily basis? Because Forsyth County is a pretty good size county, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, we have approximately about 8,000 kids that we touch either through our subsidy program.
Yes.
But also we have a Dolly Parton Imagination Library that works with 12,000 families throughout Forsyth County.
Right.
We provide literacy services for them, where every child gets a book, an evidence-based book to help them, and their parents get free books. So we're actually the ones who also supply books to every child that's born in Forsyth County.
That is great.
And you know, so they can read.
Very true. Very true. And you know what? Sometimes, Lewis, I think because we are in such a technological age, where we're doing so many things by computers and smartphones and all of these electronic devices. It's so nice that we still can teach our generation of children the good old-fashioned method of sitting down and opening up a crisp book and listening to those pages ruffle. You know, when you're turning pages as you're reading, it's really nice that our kids still get a chance to do that, because it's so easy to get caught up in those electronic devices. We know they like the video games and like to do all the other things, but it's also nice that you can still tie in the old school method, if you will, of doing things.
Yeah, and that's actually one of my favorite programs, because the value that comes with that is that it forces a parent to actually sit with the child.
Exactly.
To hold a child.
Right.
To reference pages and to actually feel and touch. And that's what the concept of a book actually gives. That's
exactly
beyond what the content is of the book when it relates to children.
That's an excellent point. Very well said. And to add to that, or actually to kind of backtrack a little bit, how did you hear about the particular position? Where were you at the time before you made the move to North Carolina, particularly in Forsyth County and around Winston-Salem?
I was in Florida, a short period of time in Raleigh, but most of the time I was in Tampa, Florida.
Okay. Oh, we just had the big game not too long ago. Apropos.
The Bucks, home of the Bucks.
Yeah, there you go. Well, getting back on track to our great conversation, Lewis, let me ask you this. How has your agency supported the early care and education industry? Because we touched on this earlier, too, as regards to COVID-19.
Well, one is one of the conveners that work with the entire community for this committee called Pre-K Priority. Mm-hmm. Well, we've been working for the past several months to try to get additional funds from either the state or local government or the private industry to actually donate funds to support those kids who aren't served.
Right.
So we're one of the leaders working with other organizations on that. But secondly, which I think is the biggest part of what we do, is we ensure that the funding distribution is equal and supported for all child care. Because in Winston-Salem, you do have different groups. You have Head Start services, you have the public schools, you have private child care and private family child care.
Right.
And our role is to make sure that we're equal to these business owners, the school districts, and Head Start. Because from my perspective, no child, whether you're low income, Head Start, high income, they should be getting the same type of services to make them prepared for public schools. So we make sure that we're equal when it relates to that type of distribution, particularly of funds, but also technical assistance.
Absolutely. And thank you for really bringing that word in particular, equal, to the conversation. Well, speaking of COVID-19, how has it impacted the child care services in our communities?
It's been dramatic. For example, when it first hit, for the first 2 months, there was no child care. It was all shut down.
Right.
And what our job was to do to try to help restore services, but we also continued paying these providers even though they didn't have children.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, that enabled them to also in turn hire some of their staff back, but also have additional money to deal with some of the strict requirements to COVID-19. So even right now, you have probably about 22% of the private child care after a year is still closed.
Right.
And it's done for a couple reasons. One reason is because you have parents who literally think that it's not safe for their kids to come back to private child care, even public schools.
Mm-hmm.
So they're taking that choice.
Right.
The second is you had some small private child care providers who just simply could not afford to open up, having been closed for 3 to 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third indicator is, and that gets to salary and income inequality, where you have some situations where providers' staff chose not to come back because they can make more money on unemployment.
Yeah.
So that's been another challenge. And what we're finding is that in our county, for example, 99.8% of every child care provider and teacher is a woman. And then what we also found is that these providers who had children couldn't come back because they had to take care of their own children too.
Right, exactly.
And some people chose to quit their jobs so they can take care of their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And statistically, it winds up being the woman in the household who's doing this, who's also normally the woman in the household who's actually doing the child care business. So it's been a dramatic impact from that perspective. But we're actually better than most communities as far as staying open.
Great.
Because across the state, it's actually higher. It's close to about 30%.
Right.
In some communities, it's higher than 30%. So we're actually a little better when it relates to that, which is a plus.
That is a plus. And you're so right. With all the various scenarios that you just shared with our listeners and our radio family, you're right. The past year has really been traumatic in so many different areas, but particularly the impact that it has had on child care services. I wanted to ask Lewis, if I can, just an aside. First of all, I like to bring to the conversation, if I can, because I think the discussion of mental health has been so important, especially in the midst of this pandemic with COVID-19, because when we think about this, for many of us, we've never been in a situation where we had to be quarantined for a large amount of time. And even though we're slowly getting back to, and we're never, of course, going back to the normal of the way things were before the pandemic, but we're trying to adjust to a new normal and a new way of doing things. If I can ask personally for you, how has your mental state been? How has it been for the administrators and the teachers and the staff that you work with, and in particular the mental state of our young ones? Because no question about it, it's likely has had quite an impact on our youth because they're just not used to this. You know, kids, they're lively. They got to be with their friends. They want to be around other people. And when you are pretty much having to isolate in your own home for a specific period of time, you know, that can be a little bit hard, especially on younger ones as opposed to us older ones.
Oh, wow. You asked a comprehensive and loaded question.
Okay.
I'll start with myself and our staff.
Right.
Now, I think for me and even our staff, I think one of the biggest challenges, and particularly me coming in new about a year ago,
right,
is that I came in and a month later almost we went into lockdown and COVID-19 and mm-hmm. working from home.
Mm-hmm.
So it really took away that opportunity for me as a leader coming in, not only to get to know my staff, board members, but also even the community itself.
Right.
Because we had many events that were planned to go out there and market exactly. with the community to get a better right. understanding of what we do.
Right.
And for me and even our staff, we've never really worked, like we're currently working from home now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge adjustment when you're job is to go into exactly. childcare facilities to provide support directly.
Very true.
And now you can no longer do that. So we had to adjust
yeah.
to try to do things online, change behaviors, to try to get to even know each other as a staff,
right.
get to know our providers as a staff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been an adjustment because at the same time, you know, I have to realize that as the leader of the organization, that guess what? These people also have personal issues that mm-hmm. are obviously challenging at home.
Right, exactly.
With the whole particularly if you have some staff who are single mothers
mm-hmm.
who now have to take care of their children during the day
right.
because they don't have school.
Exactly.
So that's where it was important as me as the leader to be able to add that type of flexibility and acknowledge that people have children, they have older adults, they have pets. So we have to look at that entire flexible place that not just impacts their work, but also their home and be more flexible to our employees that way. And I think from the childcare industry and the children, it's just not... 3 and 4 year olds are not made to be, they cannot do lesson learning from home.
Right, exactly.
Because part of education
mm-hmm.
between that age of 3 and 5 is more social activity than academic and math
right.
and science.
Yes.
So when you take away that part of working with the 4 and 5 year olds mm-hmm. and playing and the play,
right.
you're diminished almost 40% of how you prepare a child for school.
Mm-hmm.
On top of the fact that many of our kids we serve are kids that are low income.
Right.
And that's where the inequity comes in place
mm-hmm.
because many of our programs, they might get 80 to 90% to 100% of their foods from some of these programs because we also work with the food and nutrition program that makes sure that they have a healthy meal. So you
right.
take away that piece
mm-hmm.
and you add the stress that some of these kids get from their parents being around them
yeah.
all that time.
Mm-hmm.
What we did do, we changed our strategic priorities, and one of our corporate priorities is actually targeted around trauma-informed and supporting parents and children and teachers on how to deal with trauma and stress related to COVID-19.
Yes.
So we actually do have staff certified and licensed to be able to work in the community
Very good.
Online, mm-hmm. but also when we open up to help deal with that situation.
Yes.
That's going to be probably something that we're going to be dealing with, I would say, for the next 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be just a 2021 situation.
Exactly. First of all, Lewis Finney, my hat's off to you, sir. You're right, that was a loaded question, but you handled that like a champ. And then some.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I really appreciate that. And that, to me, I really appreciate all that you said because, you know, in light of all that is going on, we can no longer really just kind of push our mental state. Even when we get into the subject of mental illness and other issues related around it, it used to be such a taboo subject. Nobody wanted to talk about it. Well, now we're having to talk about it because we're in a situation where we don't know where we're going to be a year from now. We may not even know where we're going to be 6 months from now. But mm-hmm. to have conversations such as this, I think and I hope brings a degree of reassurance to many parents who may still be struggling. And they're looking for ways to not only help their children, but to help the whole family unit as a whole. And that's what I appreciate through the services that you're providing through Smart Start. And let me just say this, the board of directors couldn't have picked a better person. You fit this particular role as the CEO and executive director, at least everything I'm hearing from you thus far today. You are just the perfect fit. I'm sure you're welcome that they were looking for, that they needed. And you have been such a tremendous help. So again, I just want to say thank you for what it is that you do. Now, let's switch gears a little bit here because you did touch on, and before I get to that, Lewis, let me take this opportunity, as I usually do, to welcome some of those who may just be joining us. Thank you very much. Radio family, you are in tune to the weekend edition of Community Focus, heard here on our intercom stations, and I really do appreciate your company, and I'm certainly appreciate and enjoying the company of the CEO and executive director of Smart Start and you, Lewis Finney. We were talking about not only 2021, but what new initiatives is your organization providing, not only in this year, but, you know, maybe years down the road?
Yeah, one is we're a child health consultation. And that actually begins this month. And that was through a grant that we recently received.
Congratulations.
We're hiring a nurse mm-hmm. and someone with a background in public health who's going to be working directly with private child care providers around health and safety issues in their particular facilities. Because what we've also found as centers were opening up or have been closed, that they've been having challenges opening up because of potential health and safety issues. Mm-hmm. So this nurse is going to not only help them with that health and safety perspective, but also give them some tips as it relates to kids that have some disabilities that might be physical disabilities to provide some services for them. Cool. And that actually starts once we hire this person within the next month. And the other is something I touched on briefly, and that's where we're going to be providing specific help to support teachers who deal with children with challenging behaviors. Mm-hmm. What I found out this past year through surveys, but also through my own professional experience, is that there's a lack of support for teachers dealing with children with challenging behaviors. Because it's not that the teachers aren't good, but when you get a degree in early childhood, it doesn't specifically train you as well as it could on dealing with children with challenging behaviors. So historically, what has happened is I was one of those kids with challenging behaviors, too, in pre-K, is that you take that child and you put them in the principal's office. Mm-hmm. And what has historically happened is it's been a black boy. And the data actually says that it's not just white teachers that do it. It's black teachers that do that with black boys as well. So, but what the data also shows is that these teachers just weren't properly trained.
Right.
And it's not even an income issue. It's just the assumption that a black and Hispanic boy is just a bad boy if they're pulling a girl's hair. Mm-hmm. But there's ways to actually work with that teacher to work with that classroom to support her. Because it's kind of hard to deal with 24-year-olds and it's just you and your assistant.
Yeah.
Trust me, I can't do their job. Mm-hmm. I tell a teacher that in a heartbeat.
Right.
I don't have the patience. But there is a certain skill set and training that they can get and get that type of support. So we're going to be doing that. That's going to be countywide once we get all of our staff certified to kind of deal with that. Because what we expect and anticipate is as all these children start coming back, you're going to have a plethora of children that are going to have challenging behaviors. Right. And what we want to do is do more preventive. Because pre-K is really also a preventive program.
Mm-hmm.
You want to prevent these things from happening so these kids aren't pushed into special needs and disabilities because of behavioral issues.
Well, Lewis, thank you for sharing that. And you, sir, I tell you, you've just been a joy to speak with today. You really are. You're welcome. And thank you. But you were spot on with one word that I actually wanted to incorporate and ask in this question. How can, speaking of support, how can we as a community support the work you do? Where can we come in to help someone like you and your staff?
Okay, I think first is patience and understanding to the fact, to your original point, that our staff as well has dealt with some challenging issues as related to COVID-19, and we're still here.
Yeah.
And what I encourage the people in the community to do is really go to our website. Mm-hmm. It will tell you all the activities, but also the training opportunities that we're having to support their work.
Excellent.
Also,
do you
participate in our...
I'm sorry.
Yes, I can tell you the website.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. It's www.smartstart.org.
Okay.
Hope I got that right. That will give you our information. You can also follow us. We're active on Twitter and Facebook.
Very good.
And we have our annual fundraiser. That's April, the third week of April. And we moved to a virtual fundraiser.
Okay.
Originally, it was going to be face-to-face.
Right.
But we thought in the best interest of health and safety, mm-hmm. and we moved to a virtual one. And we'll send out information to the community about that.
Excellent. Excellent.
And third, support our initiative for Pre-K Priority.
Right.
We're working very closely with organizations like Family Services, Child Care Resources and Referral, and the public schools, and the county government to really seek funds to support Pre-K.
Mm-hmm.
Because me as the person who funds the NC Pre-K in our community, I was put back that we're getting probably about one-third what we should be getting compared to other counties.
Wow.
And we continue to have a waiting list of 4-year-olds who cannot get into programs.
Wow.
So we've been pushing and pushing support from the state to get additional funds. So when we have our community meetings, we really can benefit from getting the help from the community of saying that pre-K is a priority for Forsyth County.
Absolutely.
Whether you have a child or not.
That's true. And that ties in beautifully with my final question for you of the morning. How's your company funded?
We're funded through the state primarily, and that's the State Department of Health and Human Services. And also through an organization called NCPC, which is North Carolina Preschool. And what they do is they also fund some of our services. And then there's a portion that we fundraise for to do special programs.
Right. And that's
so I would say about 95% is the state, and the rest is through fundraising.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Including your upcoming one for April. I tell you,
correct.
Tell you what, Lewis, before we wrap up our conversation for the morning, as we get closer to that date, stay in contact with me because
I
appreciate that. I want to make you aware of two things. Number one, on this public affairs show, you not a one and done member of our community focused family. Thank you. Thank you. So I definitely look forward to having you on a future program to perhaps give us more information and more details on what we can do as a community to support and help with the upcoming April fundraising with Smart Start. And secondly,
absolutely.
I appreciate that. And finally, my friend, let me give you an opportunity in the remaining minutes that we have of this public affairs program. Is there any closing thoughts or comments you'd like to make or anything that you'd like to go over that I didn't have a chance to ask you question-wise?
Yeah, I can just leave with saying that Forsyth County for me has been a jewel, an opportunity.
Yeah.
Despite the challenges that everybody's dealing with COVID-19.
Right.
I must give credit that the community has been very pleasant and nice and supportive of me and the mission.
Wonderful.
Of what I've been trying to do to support their children and families. And I would like that to continue.
Yes.
And I also want to thank you directly for the amazing opportunity just to be able to talk about such an important subject that's important to me in my life.
Yes.
But also I think that's important to a lot of people in our community, which is early care and education in Forsyth County. And I want to thank you again.
You're so welcome. Beautifully said, Lewis. I couldn't have said it any better myself, other than I'm so glad you like the Southern hospitality. thus far. Wonderful, wonderful. So neighbor, and I say that because I proudly call Winston-Salem home as well. And the one thing, hopefully, sometime soon, Lewis, and speaking of adjustments, and I'll make this the final part of our conversation, I'm so used to having radio family like yourself in the studio with me. I have been missing that. You just don't know. And just having that human interaction and being around people. I'm really hoping that we can return to a point that at some place down the road, we could have an opportunity to meet face to face. But until that time, I'm going to leave you with a virtual hug, you know, pound, dap. You're so welcome. All the greetings that I can think of. And to, again, just say thank you for what you do. Will you please extend a hello to your staff and let them know how much we appreciate what all of you are doing. Thank you so much. So, Lewis Finney, with me, Renee Vaughn, no goodbyes. Just until next time.
All right. I look forward to it.
I look forward to it as well. And radio family, thank you for the great things you're doing in our communities. Please, you too, keep up the great work. Definitely continue to stay safe. And until that next time, you have been listening to the weekend edition of Community Focus with me, Renee Vaughn, along with Lewis Finney, the CEO and Executive Director of Smart Start. Until that next time, also, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.